नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय On this 31st day of May 2011 in Los Angeles, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Indra Offends Brihaspati, text number 23. Say 23 there. Magavan Vishatak Pashya Paksi Nan Govatikramat Samprat Upachitan Buya Kavyam Aradhya Bhaktitaha Adadiran Nilayanam Mamapi Brigadevata Magavan Vishatak Pashya Vraksinan Guvatikramat Samprat Upachitan Bhuya Kavyamaraj Bhaktitaha Adadiran Nilayanam Mamapi Mrigadevataha Magavan Vishatak Pashya Praksinan Guvatikramat Sampratupachidhan Bhuya Kavyamaraj Bhaktitaha Adadiran Nilayanam Mamapi Mrigadevataha Magavan Vishatak Pashya Chinan Guvatikramat Samprat Upachitan Bhuya Yamaranya Bhaktitaha Mamapi Brigadevataha Nilayanam Mamapi Mrigadevataha Magavan Vishatak Pashya Sampratupachidhan Bhuya Vaishnavis, Magavan Vishatak Pashya Pakshi Nangu Vatikramat Adhiran Nilayanam Mamapi Brigadevataha Magavan Vishatak Pashya Paksinan Guvatikramat Sampratupachidhan Bhuya Kavyamaraj Bhaktitaha Adidiran Nilayanam Mapi Magavan O Indra Vishataha Your enemies Pashya Just see Praksinan Being very weak Formally Guru Atikramat. Because of disrespecting their guru, Shukracharya, Samprati, at the present moment, Upachitan, powerful, Bhuyaha, again, Kavyam, their spiritual master, Shukracharya, Aradhya, worshipping, Bhaktitaha, with great devotion, Adadiran, may take away, Nilayanam, the abode, Satyaloka, Mama, my, Api, even, Brigadevataha, who are now strong devotees of Shukracharya, the disciple of Bhrigu. Translation, O Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect toward Shukracharya. But since they have now worshipped Shukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion to Shukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. Please repeat. O Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect towards Shukracharya. But since they have now worshipped Shukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion to Shukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. Purport. Lord Brahma wanted to point out to the demigods that by the strength of the Guru, one can become most powerful within this world. And by the displeasure of the Guru, one can lose everything. This is confirmed by the song of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Close quote. Although the demons are insignificant in comparison to Lord Brahma, because of the strength of their guru, they were so powerful that they could even seize Brahmaloka from Lord Brahma. We therefore pray to the spiritual master, Mukam karoti vachalam pungum langhayate girim, yatkripa tamaham bande shi guru dinatharanam. By the mercy of the guru, even a dumb man can become a great orator, and even a lame man can cross mountains. As advised by Lord Brahma, one should remember this Shastric injunction if one desires success in his life. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So the subject of this passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam can be summed up in the word empowerment. Empowerment is something that exists on both the spiritual plane and the material plane. Here we see how Brahma is explaining that the demons, though once disempowered because of their disrespect to their guru, have now become empowered, remarkably empowered. So much so, by their devoted worship of Shukracharya, they are so powerful that they can even seize Lord Brahma's abode. Whereas conversely, the demigods, under the leadership of Indra, have become disempowered because Indra disrespected their spiritual master, Brahaspati, and they didn't protest. The demigods are in the train, if you will, of Indra's disempowerment. And so now they're in great trouble. And so Brahma has come to advise them what to do. And what they will have to do is get another guru. And that other guru is going to be Vishwarup, the son of Tushta. There's a whole pastime that goes on with that, which I won't get into details, but by worshipping this Vishwarup, they again become empowered and they're able to compete with the demons. So we see that this is the theme, and Srila Prabhupada gives us this essential instruction, quoting from Vishnu Chakravarti's song, which we sing every morning, the Guru Vashtika. So how does this work, actually? How does this empowerment and disempowerment work? First of all, we can see, as I mentioned, it's not simply a spiritual factor that we see even in this world. There are so many things that are going on. I remember, you know, whether we agree with the moonshot or not, during the 60s, there was this great effort to go to the moon, and they mobilized so many scientists, so much money, and they did so many things. And at least they came up with a good show, let's say, like that. That also took a lot of effort. But it's constantly going on. The materialists are empowered to do what they do. So the living entity itself has no independent power, right? We're simply jiva souls riding on these machines of the body. And in the material consciousness, we're completely cut off from our connection to Krishna, at least not ontologically, but we've forgotten it. And therefore, we are absorbed in the lower energy, the material energy, conducted under the modes. And to one degree or another, we have certain energies that we can use, right? Even the animals. Probably we'll often point out how some of the animals can do things that we cannot do, right? The vulture, he has this very good quality, this amazing quality. He can rise very high up in the sky, 5 miles, 6 miles, 10 miles, whatever. And he can see, as incredible vision. He can look down into the forest and the meadow. And what is he looking for? Dead body. He's looking for some carcass that he'll then eat, is he? So we cannot, Prabhupada said, we cannot do that. We cannot go up so high, we cannot see so well. But what is the use of that empowerment? It is, the final goal of the empowerment is simply to find a dead body and eat. You see? But still, they're given that power by the arrangement of nature, ultimately by Krishna, to fulfill that particular role, that karma that they've got from previous lives, to be able to, you know, see nicely, to eat a dead body. Not a very nice end to the whole thing. So each animal has a specific, you know, empowerment. But we can see that this empowerment is temporary, because it's being expressed through the material senses and the material mind and the material brain. So the empowerment that the demons have is certainly temporary, and even the empowerment that the demigods have insofar as they're concerned now about preserving their planets and living their life in the heavenly planets, that's also temporary. Krishna makes it very clear in the Bhagavad Gita that if one worships the gods, right in chapter 9, worships the gods for gaining entrance into the heavenly planets, one can go there and enjoy godly delights. But tetam bhuktva swagalokam vichalam chine punye martya lokam vishanti. After one's pious credits are used up, one again comes down to this world of birth and death. And therefore, by this method, one simply comes and goes and doesn't make any progress toward the ultimate goal of life. But there's a empowerment, there's a blessing there for some time, and eventually it ends. So the important point here is to understand that what we are looking for, what we should be focused on, is the blessings of the Lord, the blessings of the spiritual master that don't end, that will take us to that position that is eternal. The demigods don't really understand that. We go through. I was reading ahead, and I remembered they had these incredible prayers to Krishna, eventually. And he comes before them, and ultimately they're praying that they'll get their kingdom back. And he chastises them. He said, those who are wise don't pray for anything material. And yet he gives them the means by which they can achieve their goal, by begging the body of the Dichi and getting the fashioning an invincible thunderbolt out of his bones, you know, and eventually killing Vritrasura. But let's just think of what happens there. Indra gets all these blessings, right? He has in the Narayan Kavacha, which was given to him by Vishwarup, so he can't be killed. He has the thunderbolt, which is an invincible weapon. But then he finds out, he realizes that he's fighting against this Vritrasura, who's actually a great devotee and a Brahman. He's the son of Trashta. So Indra realizes, my goodness, I'm killing a Brahman. You know? First he disrespected Brihaspati, then he killed his spiritual master, Vishwarup, and now he's killing a Brahman. And then he has to suffer 1,000 years worth of sinful reactions, sitting under a lake and breathing through a straw. Is it? this is what's happening. These are material empowerments. Now the demigods are of course devotees, and ultimately Indra will be reinstated and perform his devotional service. But you see that one of the lessons here is that praying to God, praying to Krishna for anything material is ultimately self-defeating. We're missing the point. And therefore we're enjoined and instructed from day one in devotional service from the Shikshastika. Nadanang, nadanang, nasundadim, kavitang vajagadisha kamaye. My dear Lord, I'm not approaching you for any wealth, for any good marriage, for anything material at all, not even for liberation. But I simply want your unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service in my life forever. That's the proper prayer. And Srila Prabhupada showed by his very life, you have to see the long range to see who's empowered and who isn't. Who really has the blessings? Think of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita for a minute. The whole first part. Who is the real recipient of the mercy of the Lord? Right? Is it Indra? He goes to Indraloka. You know, one may think so. He has so much wealth, so much money. But no, Indra's not free of this pride. He's not free of this pride of wealth. And he periodically, you know, as sure as clockwork, he flies off the handle. He gets overwhelmed with the mode of passion. And he'll even, you know, forgets who Krishna is, right? And he attacks Vrindavan in Govardhan Puja. Again he forgets and refuses to give him the Parijata flower. He gets envious of Prithu and steals the 100th horse so he can't for 100 horse sacrifices. Even though he was warned, yes, you can have Vishwarup as your guru, but only if you realize that he also has some affiliation with the demons and he's going to. No, Indra couldn't take that. He cuts off his heads. You see? What is it? Because Indra remains, you know, for all of his exalted position, he's still conducted somewhat by the mode of passion, often very much by the mode of passion. So this is called Sakama Bhakta. Sakama, with material desire. So the real empowerment, now look at Srila Prabhupada's life for a minute. It's a wonderful saga, you know, of surrender, determination, devotion, purity, and ultimate victory. You know, but for so many years, if someone came to see Prabhupada in the 50s when he was at Jhansi, you know, or a little later when he was in Delhi and Vrindavan and going back and forth, they say, "Well, where's the empowerment? You know, he's been given this instruction, but nothing's really happening here. You know." And but Krishna, by his plan, think of the Shastra, how so many of our great examples of devotion, Prahlad, the Pandavas, so many others, they have periods when they seem to be defeated by the demonic forces, isn't it? But in the end, they're exalted. And they're remembered thousands of years later as great examples. And Srila Prabhupada will. Because he never gave up, and he was confident of that empowerment in the end. And miraculously, you know, if you look at it objectively, the whole thing is a miracle, this very movement. That the last 12 years of his stay with us, he was given so much empowerment. Now, what was that empowerment? He had the power, the most important power, to instill faith in Krishna, in anyone who would come in contact and be a little receptive. And that empowerment is still going on. Through his books, through his recordings, through his movement, through his devotees, sincere followers, that same Shakti, Bhakti Shakti, is being infused in receptive souls. Isn't it? That's the most important kind of empowerment. And that, but it's, it can be gained and it can also be lost. You know that story of Puna Mushaka Baba. This is really the right time to tell that story. It may have been told already sometime. But Puna Mushaka Baba. Puna again, Mushaka a mouse, Baba become. Again become a mouse. So the the mouse came. The mouse is being chased by a cat. Right? He has a problem. Big problem. So there's a yogi who has powers. So he goes to the yogi, please help me. I'm in danger from this cat all the time chasing me. So he says, okay, boom, you know, zap, you're a cat. So now there's no problem from the cat, just one of the cats. But there's a further danger. The dog is now chasing, right? So again he comes, you see? Now he you know, offers obeisances, you know, meow. And please help me, please, you know. So he's surrendered. He's praying sincerely. And the yogi sees the submission. Okay, here's the blessing. Become a dog. He becomes a dog, you see. So, but then there's a lion, you know, in the forest. It's always roaring and scaring him. Or a tiger, I forget which it is. So he comes again. And he says, please help me. I'm in danger. Okay. Become a lion. And then he's looking at the yogi. Because lions, you know, are carnivorous. He's looking at him, getting ready to pounce and eat him up. And the yogi sees that. So he's lost his submissive nature, you see. And so, boom, again he becomes a mouse. Now the moral of the story is that one should always remain a fool before one's spiritual master. One always needs to remain in that position of helpless submission. Exemplified by Prabhupada's prayer, you know, on the Jaladutta. I have no power to speak. I don't have anything. You brought me here. If you want me to do this, may you have some mission, then you please make my power of speaking sufficient so that they'll understand. You make me dance, make me dance, make me dance, oh Lord, as you want. And Prabhupada never lost that, obviously. And you can see all our great acharyas are like that. They always feel completely helpless. You know, commentary to the Vedanta Sutra, Lord Chaitanya didn't feel it was necessary to write one because the Bhagavatam is the original commentary. But later on, due to some, there was a need to write one, Gaudiya Vaishnava. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan wrote one. But you know, he didn't call it Baladeva Vidyabhushan Bhashya. He called it Govinda Bhashya. He prayed, was it for 3 days, you know, to the deity of Govinda there in Jaipur. You know, please empower me to write this. And so he felt that his pen was being moved by Govinda. And Prabhupada felt the same thing, you know. That these weren't his words, they're Krishna's words. And so he calls it Govinda Bhasha. Govinda's actual, you know, Bhasha. So Prabhupada explains in various places that we should also feel like that. Whatever we are able to do in Krishna consciousness, either in our own sadhana, so that we can have the spiritual strength to follow the process, or in giving others the chance to become devotees, through book distribution, preaching, deity worship, everything, is simply an empowerment coming from whatever sincere service attitude we have and submission we have toward the spiritual master and toward the parampara and toward Srila Prabhupada. We always have to feel ourselves that way. And then amazing things can happen. And we've seen throughout the history of this movement, in the early days, Prabhupada was taking, you know, streetwalkers, people who left their homes, were spaced out on drugs, and were completely, you know, they weren't even qualified to enter a temple, what to speak of, take up, you know, the highest possible devotional service. And yet, he, you know, brought them in through the chanting, the prasadam, his association, his instructions, purifying. And then when he gave him instruction, you go start a temple in Germany, you know. You go, you know, and distribute books. You do this. You become Bujari. They were able to do it. Amazingly. And empowered by that surrender and sincere service mode. So, but here we see the situation that we've also seen that historically, that empowerment can be withdrawn. Again, become a mouse. If one loses one's sense of perspective and worship and proper attitude toward the spiritual master, toward Srila Prabhupada, then again, it can be withdrawn. You can't do anything. That's why this verse is so nice. Mukam karoti vachalam pungam langayate girim yat kripata mahambande shigurun dinataranam. So dinatarana means the deliverer of the most fallen, you know, dinahina. And those who have nothing, who are wretched, who really, without good qualification. Like it says in that song, Gurudev Kripa Bindu, when I examine myself, I see that I have no qualities, therefore your mercy is essential to me. That's the meaning of that line. You know, we can put it in a poetic way that your mercy is all I am made of. But we should know that other part, that when I examine myself, I see no good qualities. We have to really feel like that. So by that mercy, Kripa, the dumb can become great orators. Just imagine, you know. The lame can walk over mountains. So these are miracles, right? But that's exactly what happens spiritually. That you become an instrument in the hands of Krishna. Nimitta matram bhava sabhisachan. By your attitude toward the spiritual master. See, this is a very important way it works. That we cannot approach Krishna directly. Please empower me to serve you. You know, because Krishna is—he is in the control, if you will, through love, through very powerful love of his great devotees. He agrees to be controlled. So when Srila Prabhupada, you know, I was just reading about you know the 40th anniversary of the installation of Radha Gopinath in Sydney. You know, there's all of these wonderful anniversaries coming now. So it's famous. So he installs the deities. They didn't have any Brahmins. So devotees who had been in the movement for like 2 weeks, he's initiating them as Brahmins. You know? But he's taking a great risk. So then Prabhupada prays to the deity, says, I have to go. You know? I'm putting you in their hands. Please give them the inspiration, empower them to take care of you nicely. He's praying to Radha Gopinath to do that. And because of their sincere service attitude toward Prabhupada, you know, they did it. They were able, and then the next time he came, he saw, you know, beautiful temple, nice, you know, deity worship, cleanliness, punctuality, all of the things. It wasn't, you know, the inspiration was there. So you can see that Krishna, he serves his devotees, his pure devotees, by blessing the pure devotees' sincere servants with the power to become good devotees and to do wonderful things in the devotion. But as soon as that blessing is gone, yasya prasadan, and I would encourage you all to remember it's yasya prasadan, it's yasya uprasadan, means with his non-mercy, when you chant it every morning. So you know what it means, yasya prasadan. Then nagati katopi. There's no means to get to the goal. We're stuck. We're helpless. Now, one of the problems that arises in this, and I'd like to mention this, is that Here we see an example where Indra's empowerment was immediately withdrawn, right? And it was obvious. Suddenly, they're weak, the demigods. And the demons say, oh, now's our chance, you know? And they're worshipping Shukracharya, and they get empowered to take over the heavenly planets. But But oftentimes we see that disempowerment is not so obvious. That disempowerment. It doesn't happen right away. It may take some time. And in that interval, those who were once empowered may still have a great deal of influence. And so it's very important to school ourselves, to become well-learned in the Shastra. What are the real qualifications of one who is truly, bearing the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master? Because the qualifications of detachment, of humility, of sincerity, of a taste for hearing and chanting, of strict sadhana, those really can't be faked very much. So we should know that, and that so that we have to know how the flow of authority is coming. The flow of authority. Srila Prabhupada had all the authority of Krishna because he was completely surrendered. Non-different from Krishna. Sakshat dididvena samasta shastra. When the first devotees, came into that orbit, the 22nd Avenue, they were in the presence of the power of the Lord through his pure devotee. And those who were fortunate enough to let themselves be influenced by that Shakti, they became purified very quickly. So there's no question of Srila Prabhupada's power. But the representatives, who's representing Srila Prabhupada genuinely, and how that's going on, that is not always so obvious to see. And therefore, we have our seniors, we have our GBC, we have our Shastra, Prabhupada has left us, by which we can see what are the criteria, what are the real genuine criteria for empowerment. Because we can see there's also material empowerment, these demons, We see some bogus yogi in India just died a month ago, Millions of people, are taking under the influence. And, millions and who knows, billions of dollars can be gotten and spent and so forth. But where is that taking them? In the end of the day, at the end of the life, what do you have? You don't have devotion to Krishna. You don't have passage back to Godhead. You've been cheated. This is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. So, number one, we should aspire to become empowered to do our service and to become genuine instruments in the mission of the Lord. And number two, we should also want to transmit that power, transmit that Shakti accurately, so that others can be brought into the genuine influence of the internal energy of the Lord. It's not easy. The history of religion, this is Kali Yuga after all, when there are so many cheating dharmas and cheaters and the cheated. So Prabhupada's his central mission was establishing the genuine scripture and the genuine standard of devotion, pure devotion to Krishna, that would then serve as a hallmark an influence that would fight off and combat all of these bad influences. The greatest demonic force in the world, you read the Ishopanishad, are those who are preaching cheating religion. Because that impetus to spiritual life and religion is always there in the soul. But people in this age are misguided, they're unlucky, they're always disturbed. So they get under the influence of the bogus teaching and the bogus leader, and they get cheated. So Srila Prabhupada's mission is to give the genuine article and to ultimately eclipse and destroy and defeat all of these bogus dharmas, so-called dharmas that are around. Dharma prajita kaitavotra. So it's a great battle. And our greatest weapon in that battle is the weapon of knowledge. We have to become well-versed in these books so that we cannot be cheated And we can also become empowered to give that knowledge and impart faith into others. We can also become agents of Srila Prabhupada in order to impart that faith. That's how the movement grows. That's how the family of devotees is increased. Thank you very much for your attention. If there are any questions or comments, we can entertain them now. Archita Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada.
Spoken by Balabhaja Bhattacharya to Lord Chaitanya. I'm just wondering if you can give any actual examples of that. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, a dumb person being empowered to become an orator. Pangum Langayate Girim, a lame person being able to cross mountains by the power of the Guru. Do you know of any practical examples of those two?
I can remember the first class I gave. It was right here in New Dwarka. And I really felt pretty dumb, I'll tell you. I didn't feel like I had it. I'm not a great orator, but I think that, anyone who speaks on Krishna's behalf can sometimes feel, well, where did that come from? You know? You can feel that, you know, to whatever degree you're sincerely reading and hearing and chanting, that Krishna is inspiring you to say things. Now, it's not exactly, you know, the really dumb, the mute are going to speak. Maybe someone has a real example of that, where someone suddenly started speaking after a whole life of not speaking. But the idea is that really anyone who's not speaking about Krishna is really just, you know, speaking Jabberwocky. You know what Jabberwocky is? People don't read Alice in Wonderland anymore. Jabberwocky is a language. I wish I could give an example. I forget it. That sounds like it means something, but really doesn't. You know, there's all of this. You know, Tower of Babel. Just get on the internet. You know, so many words that seem to have so much import. You know, but ultimately it's no more than the babbling of the sea waves. You know, it ultimately doesn't mean anything. You know. So in one sense, before we start speaking about Krishna, we're really dumb. You know, it's better if we were dumb and silent than actually speaking that. But after being inspired, you know, by a genuine spiritual master and empowered by the mercy, which really comes through the media of the words on the page or in person or through recording media, one begins actually speaking. And as far as crossing mountains go, I mean, there's so many mountain-like difficulties, isn't it? I mean, just the number of suits, lawsuits that seem to be the total end of this movement. You know, I mean, things that you maybe say we brought on ourselves, but still they were threatening the end of this movement. You know, and somehow or other, miraculously. You know, or by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, they've been overcome. So many instances. I mean, I remember the whole saga of the Bhaktivedanta Manor. You remember that? When, you know, there they were, and they were confronted by so many rules and regulations that were restricting the preaching. And what was the devotee name who led that up? What is it? Yeah. And after a long fight, you know, they crossed that mountain and they were able to expand the preaching wonderfully. The difficulties become strengthening experiences. You know, all of the seemingly insurmountable difficulties that the Pandavas underwent with Queen Kunti, the mother. And Krishna ultimately brought them, you know, to success. So she's saying, may those difficulties come again and again, because by those difficulties we'll see your lotus feet, and when we see your lotus feet, we won't see birth and death again. You see? So the real devotee who feels the empowerment of Krishna welcomes these difficulties as chances to prove how much they really love Krishna. You know, that's where the action is. So If someone has an actual example from the Shastra of, you know, someone suddenly speaking or throwing away the crutches and running over the Himalayas, we speak now or forever hold your peace. Any other comments or questions? Rameshwar Prabhu. Give him the mic. We have the mic coming.
I can't help but remember something that Prabhupada told me. Over a period of days, he kept preaching this to me and drilling it into me, that this Hare Krishna movement is non-different from Krishna himself. And he said that just as Krishna descends to protect the devotees and annihilate demons, so this Hare Krishna movement has appeared to give shelter to devotees and to annihilate two great demons in this earth, communism and atheistic science. And then Prabhupada went on to say that the devotees were so sincere who were begging the Lord to let them serve Prabhupada by distributing his books, and through the distribution of millions and millions of books, Prabhupada said the atmosphere of the entire earth became transformed, and religiosity was awakening in the hearts of people all over the planet. And then he said, and that is what brings down, that is what brings down communism. And Prabhupada was saying this before the wall went down. He said, future, this was his prediction, his great prophecy to see the future, which came true. Prabhupada said future historians will note this period, how through book distribution communism has ended. Communism was brought down. And he said, and now we must do the same thing to destroy atheistic science and specifically Darwin. And then he went on to give different instructions about how he wanted books that specifically counter these atheistic arguments. He actually said he would like them to be distributed, even if they have to be distributed for free. That the BBT should pay for the books and even give a budget for those who are writing the books and let these books fly out. The same way that communism was destroyed because of millions of book distribution, the same can happen to Darwin's theories and all this atheistic science that everyone throughout the world is being taught if we just focus again on book distribution.
Thank you. In that regard, you may be interested to know that the Origins magazine is going to be reproduced. We're going to revive that, which I think was one of the very good main weapons in that arsenal. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. In the verse Mukham Karoti Vachalam, I was just remembering this incident that happens. I hope it fits. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a description of how Lord Chaitanya is given blessings, and he told his devotees, bring Sridhar to say something. And say, Sridhar, my devotee.
Kolavesha Sridhar.
Yeah, Kolavesha Sridhar, please say something. And he was like dumbstruck. He couldn't say anything. And then it is described that the goddess of learning entering his tongue by the influence of the Lord, and he started glorifying like anything. And the other side, we have the Digvijaya Pandit who wanted to defeat the Supreme Lord. And the goddess learning also entered and twists all his intelligence, and he couldn't say anything. So
that's a good example. Also, it comes to mind both Prahlad and Dhruva, two children. They felt, how come I can offer prayers? You know, what do I know? I don't know Sanskrit. So they were empowered, right? Prahlad by the hand of Nrisingadev and Dhruva by the conch of Vishnu. And they were able to offer, you know, wonderful prayers and speak like that. Okay.
Radhana Maharaj, in his lecture, sometimes he gives good examples too. He was saying that now all these simple village boys come and join, and they're sitting down in the Vyasasan, and you have big, big doctors and lawyers and everything listening to them. Just see the power of Krishna consciousness.
Go ahead.
The example I was thinking of was of Jayananda Prabhu, who in the last few months of his life was so ill and weak, he could barely move. Yet he had a vision, he received a message, an instruction from Lord Jagannath. He told me that, to come back to Los Angeles. He was down in Mexico trying to get treatments. But he received an instruction to come back to Los Angeles and to organize the Rath Yatra Festival of Lord Jagannath here.
The first one in LA.
And when he came here, his body had no color. There was no life in his body, practically, except that order of the Supreme Lord empowered him, that soul, to keep a dead body. His body was dead, to keep it moving. It was anyone who was here in 1977 and saw Jayananda just could not believe what their eyes were seeing.
Yeah,
there was nothing in his body that made you think he was alive. He looked like a corpse. He did. And yet there he was in that parking lot teaching the devotees how to construct giant Rath Yatra carts. They were 30 feet long. Each one had 10 wheels, 50-foot high canopies. To watch this happening, it was like, I'm telling you, a dead body was moving. And what happened when the devotees in New Dwarka saw that, the impossible happening in front of their eyes, then they all started to feel empowered in the same, in a similar way. No one could do what he did.
Yeah.
But in a similar way, this whole community became, what is the word, surcharged.
Yeah.
And had a passion that is not even human on his behalf to put on this Rath Yatra festival. After he died, we had 3 months to organize everything. And at that point, all we had been doing was building the carts. But his empowerment gave us a vision of a totally different concept of a Rath Yatra festival.
Yeah.
And the devotees ended up constructing exhibits,
booths,
and pandals, and painting signs. And what they did in 3 months is not normal.
And he's writing an article about it. We can read it online. I don't know. Who are you writing it for?
Well, I'm writing a little bit about this for the Rath Yatra magazine that they publish.
Okay. So we'll read it, but we have to end now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Karoti vachalam.